DJ has never looked at himself as the third guy, and we haven't either. We look at him as one of the big three, of our big three. Just like in, I'm sure, in Miami or in Boston or San Antonio with Ginobili, Parker, and Duncan. You know, I don't think they're sitting around thinking, am I second or third or first? I don't think they care, and I think DJ is more than that than people give him credit for.
All right, Jag, you ready to talk Clippers?
Yep, let's do it.
That's the sound of the horn. Welcome to a special summer Clipcast. I'm your host, Chris Wild. With me, as always, is the Jaguar.
Jaguar, Mike Jaglin.
And even more special than Mike, which is saying something, because Jaguar, you are truly special. We've got Doc Rivers, coach and vice president of basketball operations from the Los Angeles Clippers, joining us today as well.
Well, hello, and that's about it. I'll let you guys start.
Hey, Doc, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. You question for you.
Yesterday, it sounds like it.
Well, you know, we had a blast. It was amazing.
So we are just pleased as, I'm not going to say pleased as punch, because the only thing that's more pleased as punch is the Clipper Nation right now because of all of the punch that our bench just got received. Jack, talk to me about how deep our bench is. How deep is our bench?
Well, let's first talk about versatility on this team. I mean, last year we had Blake and Austin Rivers were really the only two guys on the squad that could play multiple positions. Since then, we've brought in Paul Pierce, who can play the four and the five.
No.
We brought in Lance Stephenson that could literally play one, two, and three.
Did you
Wesley
just say
Johnson.
Paul Pierce could play the four and the five?
Excuse me, the three and the four.
Now we're talking.
But then Lance Stephenson, one, two, three. Wes Johnson can do the three and the four. And, you know, your newest added Clipper, Josh J. Smith, can play the three and the four, primarily the four.
But, Josh Smith is such a great addition because it's that old adage, if you can't beat him, join him. He single-handedly, you know, along with Corey Brewer, beat us game six, round two, as a Houston Rocket. And what did we go out and do? Well, we plucked him away from the Rockets and put him on the squad. I mean, that it was an incredible fix by GM Doc.
I'm telling you.
He left money on the table. I mean, he got a $2.5 million offer from the Rockets, which is no state tax, too. So, I mean, this is a great win for the Clippers. Just a great option to have on this team. Now, the naysayers are going to sit there and be like, Josh Smith, you know, likes to put up dumb shots. You know, he does bonehead plays. But if he plays like he did in Houston, which was his first system he played under, until it was his early years with Coach Woodson, because he played under Mr. Mike Woodson, the Clippers' assistant coach in Atlanta.
I mean, he was on a team that got to the Western Conference Finals, that got past the Clippers with his best buddy, like his old tween pal. They used to like be pen pals and share a shared dream diary together, and Dwight Howard. I mean, those guys came up together as kids, and he basically turned his back on all of that to join this bolstered Paul Pierce, DeAndre Jordan, Blake and Chris, and the rest Clippers squad. I mean, any critic of GM Doc needs to be silenced right now.
I'm doing very well.
I mean, for sure, on paper, this is a lethal-looking team.
But on paper, this is the best team we've had in a long time.
Oh, for sure. And it's the X factor in the NBA. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, the Clippers are the best, because, listen, the chance is still a chance, even though they really haven't bolstered their team.
And the Spurs are still the Spurs.
We know the Spurs, and OKC will be loaded. But the Clippers are the X factor. And, listen, Josh Smith started most of his career until he went to Houston. Last year, off the bench, he scored in double digits, 35 of 48 games.
He torched us that game six. He torched us.
Also, remember, too, that was one of the turning points in that series. Josh Smith did not start those first five games.
And then he started.
Those first four games, excuse me. Then he started that game five that kind of you know, turned.
And guess what? They won the games that he started.
Yep.
You know what it reminds me of, Jag? Was back when the Clippers lost in round two in 2006 to the Phoenix Suns, and we got torched by Timmer Thompson. And then we turned around that summer and signed him. Now, he was pretty decent for the Clippers, but that team in 2007 was just a bust. They kind of fell apart late.
They fell apart, yeah.
And that was obviously a different generation. But it's very similar to when Timmer, torched us as a Phoenix Sun, and then we turned around and signed him. And, you know, the beauty of this Josh Smith signing, though, is all the money and the history with Dwight that he turned his back on to join his old pal Coach Woody and basically join a better team. I mean, obviously, Josh Smith feels that the Clippers are more equipped to win now than Houston is.
I mean, he knows he's here to be Blake Griffin's backup, but you look at that bench now, and you look at Austin, Lance, you know, Jamal still there. I'm still putting Jamal in there.
Yeah, you should. I don't think he's going anywhere, Jack.
You have Wesley, and you have Josh Smith, and then we didn't talk about the new addition, Cole Aldrich.
A beautiful backup big, which is something we've been lacking for years.
Only 26 years old, too.
The last backup big we had that we liked was Home Run Hollins.
Yep. Yeah, no, Cole Aldridge is going to be perfect as that big off the bench, play, you know, 10 to 15 random minutes, block shots, rebound, definitely help. But, again, this team has so many options, not only, like, looking at the bench, Chris, and saying, okay, do we have the best bench in the league? But if Chris goes down, if Blake goes down, if JJ goes down, we have guys that can come in and start and not be question marks, you know? And you probably don't lose that much. And
now, is this similar to back, like, and Doc is such a different coach, so it's hard to make the comparison to Vinny Del Negligent. But Vinny Vidi Vici, when he had that Tribe Called Bench, a.k.a. the Bench Mob, and he would make, like, a hockey sub out where he would, like, maybe leave one guy on the court or he would just go 5 for 5. I mean, Doc has essentially that option. I don't think that he does that. But is this back like the Tribe Called Bench? I mean, I think this bench is better than the Tribe.
Well, they're calling this the Suicide Squad. That's what they're calling.
I like it, Jack. I really like the Suicide Squad, Jack.
They call it the Suicide Squad. That's the word on Twitter right now, the Suicide Squad.
It really is like a band of bad guys, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You have Josh Smith, who, you know, people consider a question mark, but let's not forget, this guy, you know, gets paid $10-plus million a year, or did until he was bought out by the Pistons for a reason. And then you have Lance Stephenson. You know, you have a couple question marks, but... Again,
well, I mean, the question marks, the good thing about the question marks, Jag, is that these question marks fill in the needs that we've had, which are the three and the bench. So take a look at Josh Smith and Lance Stephenson are two guys that can play the three.
Yeah, I mean, you have last year, we have one wing, Matt Barnes. Now you look at it, you have Pierce, you have... Stevenson, Johnson, and you have Dawson, who is killed it in summer league, and then Josh Smith. I just named five guys right there that play multiple positions.
We've got stronger wings than the must-see TV Thursday night post Cheers lineup before ER, maybe even LA Law. I'm dating myself, but I remember that show called Wings. Well, we got better wings. We got wings like where Hooters meets KFC. We got wings.
No, but that's the thing. Again, Josh Smith, you know, he shot 38% from three in the playoffs. He's known for, you know, chucking shots up at times. But, again, I kudos to Doc, because you can look at this on paper and be like, oh, man, this could really sink or swim, which it could. But, you know, we know that the West is feast or famine, and Doc had to go for it.
He had to.
Especially with no cap space.
Well, I mean,
pull this off.
Look, I look back and what was our problem in the postseason last year, just a couple months ago, a few weeks ago, and it seems like an eternity ago. And it seems like an eternity before next season starts, but we're almost there, folks. But if you look at what our, you know, holes were in the postseason, and honestly, like, you go to game six, it was scoring. We couldn't score. So what did he do? He got Paul Pierce and Josh Smith, and he kept Jamal Crawford. Those guys are instant offense, Jack.
Well, just remember, Chris, you know, there were so many games last year that the offensive load was really forced upon Blake and Chris.
Yeah.
Because if JJ was off, Jamal would come in. And if Jamal was off,
we were screwed.
We'd be screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we have multiple guys that can come over and get 10 plus in a heartbeat.
But
you don't know which one. That's the beauty. And that's what makes such a deep bench. And it kind of goes to the Sam Tripoli theory, which is you need to have three guys off the bench that can score 15 points or more at any night. And we have that.
And also the huge burden of
so they have that.
When DeAndre Jordan would hit the bench, everything would just go to hell because we didn't have a rim protector. We didn't have a guy clogging lanes, and that's Cole Aldrich. Cole Aldrich is a big, competent defender and rim protector, and he's also got some moves, Jack. He's got that pretty hook shot. I keep watching him block that DeMarcus Cousins shot. Like, the guy has got great big man instincts down below.
No, he was a really solid pickup. And he's a guy, he's going to play defense, he's going to board, he'll do a lot of dirty work. But, you know, it's not just about, like, having a rim protector in that second unit. It was about having versatility with this entire team. And that's the thing. Now, you know, they can, the Clippers small ball consists of Chris Paul, J.J. Redick, and Jamal Crawford last year.
Right.
You know, and maybe a little bit of Matt Barnes at the four and Blake at the five. I mean, now it's all out. I mean, we can do, you know, you can do a unit of Blake and Josh Smith and Lance Stephenson at the three.
And it was very important to re-sign Austin Rivers. And I really like Flossen Dawson. Can we talk about Flossen?
Officially signed. Another great move. I mean,
he looks good.
This guy's what I call, he's a ball hawk. He's a ball hawk. He gets to the ball. He's always there. He needs to work on his shooting. Hopefully Bob Tate, Blake's shooting coach, will, you know, be with him in the gym this summer. But this guy's a lockdown defender that just gets down and dirty. He's only 6'6", Chris. It's not like this guy's 6'9", but
right.
He plays like Draymond Green kind of does, but he's more athletic.
I was going to say, who does Flossen Dawson's game remind you of? And you're saying Draymond Green?
Well, I think he's a little more athletic Tony Allen.
Okay.
That's who he plays like. And I think, again, he's a great guy to have to lock down these Currys and these Thompsons and these Westbrooks and these guys that we need. That is, again, defensively, the Clippers were middle of the pack. Let's just put them that. There were games last year that they were phenomenal, and then there were games that their defensive abandonment. It was inconsistent, you know. And now they're bringing in guys, and Lance and Josh Smith. You know, even Wes Johnson's a good defender.
I mean, this looks like, you know what this looks like to me, Jack. And I'm just gonna say it. This, you know what this looks like to me? A 60 win team.
It could be again. The Clippers are the X factor in the NBA. They're either going to be close to a 60-win team, or we're going to be battling, like, 6 or 7 seed.
What?
It could really, really work out. If it backfires.
6 or 7 seed? What are you talking about? We kept our core. We're just
going to
get better. The last 3 seasons, the last 4 seasons, we've basically been the exact same win percentage team every single year, give or take a win or two. The strike-shortened season was the one fluke. But then, you know, VDN gets us a bunch of wins. Then Doc comes in, gets us more wins. Then last season we get one less regular season than the previous season, but we go further in the postseason. I mean, we literally have just been hovering in that, like, 56, 57-ish win range. And I think these additions are enough to get us over the hump And that's where you got to be in the West. You got to go in being a powerhouse 60-win team. Just ask the champs, and just ask two champs ago, both Western Conference studs, the unfortunate Dubs and the Spurs. I mean, those guys were both 60-plus win teams, and that's where you got to be.
That's the thing. On paper, this team could potentially do it, and I think there's a good shot they could. I'm just saying, worst-case scenario, if things don't work out with Josh and with Lance, you know, that's what, if things went wrong, that's where they would end up. But that being said, to what you were talking about, this team finished second in the conference last year with that team that had no bench.
Yeah.
At all. The worst bench, Chris, and I think you'll agree, I think most people, anyone that's a basketball fan will agree, worst bench of any playoff bench.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Probably worst versatility and worst combination of wings in the league.
Right.
And they finished second.
Yeah.
So,
but the West is even more, the West is just as nasty as it's always been. I mean, is the West nastier now? I mean, the Spurs are obviously better. The Warriors are the same. And now you got to add in the OKC factor. So isn't the West even tougher this year? I mean, also, P.S., the Clippers are much tougher.
Yes. And, I mean, Alvin Gentry went to New Orleans.
So that makes them tough.
Yeah, Memphis bolstered up. Houston's still going to be tough. I mean, again, for the Clippers, I really feel the first two seasons under Doc Rivers, we've had these highs and lows during the regular season. And then we're always at the end of the year going on this run to get like the 2 or 3 seed.
Right.
And, you know, instead of doing that, it's time to just do it consistently.
Absolutely. You know, we need to combine the back half of the past two Doc Rivers seasons with that magical VDN front half when we were, you know, the December to remember. We basically need to combine those and just be consistent all year, like when Doc had the big three in Boston. That year they were unstoppable with Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Ray Shuttlesworth. So it's like we need that kind of consistency. You're absolutely right, especially just because we, you know, we are an afterthought, unfortunately, still. Even yeah. though we're obviously everywhere, we're on the radar, we're one of the most popular teams in the league, maybe in all of sports,
the
but
most
still
entertaining,
people
the
love
most,
to hate us.
The most entertaining, don't you think?
I mean, my God, absolutely.
In the last 2 years, we've had Donald Sterling's fiasco, and we've had Operation DJ.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought up Operation DJ, because fans, you really should go back and listen to the past two Clipcasts. It's really an exercise in bipolarity. It's like Dr. Jekyll was one week and Mr. Hyde is the next, because one is the DeAndre Jordan experience, and then the other one was Dumb Andre Jordan, because there was that phantom few days where he was no longer a Clipper, and all of Clipper Nation, rightfully so, was really irritated and mad at him. Now, the Clippers never got mad at him, because they love the guy, and he had a patented change of heart thanks to a phone conversation he had with Callie Rivers, of all people, where DeAndre said to Callie, he's like, do you think your dad will ever talk to me again? He was having second thoughts. He reached out to Callie. He said, do you think your dad will ever talk to me again? And Callie Rivers told him, yeah, I know he will. Of course, he loves you. Just give him a call. Don't worry about it. He's not like that.
And this is all reported from Bleacher Report, too. Let's clarify that so they know.
Oh, by the way, the Cali Rivers thing I knew about forever, and I was sworn to secrecy. But now that Bleacher Report reported it, I can talk about it on Clipcast. But I knew about that.
Perfect.
I knew about that last cast. I certainly didn't know about it two casts ago, because I really took DeAndre Jordan and raked him over the coals. A lot of the fans asked me to apologize to Deej. And, of course, obviously, if I hurt DeAndre Jordan's feelings, I do apologize to sweet, sweet Deej. That being said, whatever the Clipper Nation did, whatever we all did collectively, it worked because he's back. And Doc himself said he never left.
You know, first of all, he never left. You know, that's one thing I keep thinking. So I guess he's re-signing, is the way we look at it, not coming back. I mean, I guess he left for a moment mentally, but not really.
He never left. He had a little wordplay with Mark Cuban. He had a lot for those sports journalists and guys like us to talk about, but he never left, Jack.
No, he didn't. He did not leave. And I want to go back on what you were talking about, Chris. you made a great point clearing things up about DeAndre. You know, fans, you know, Chris is a really passionate fan.
I'm an idiot.
He's a fan porter. And we are here to entertain and give you the news.
That's right.
That's our job.
Yeah, and you're more the news guy, and I'm more the entertainment guy. So I definitely lay it on thick.
But still, we're not going to sit here and play the game of sources. We want to talk Clippers basketball.
That's right. And I am not unbiased, and I am not impartial. I am very biased, and I'm very partial. I am Clipper Nation.
And when a huge story like that happens, you know, we're going to talk about it.
Absolutely. So, and we're going to be passionate about it. And like, if I did Clipcast when Elton Brand turned his back on us, it would have gotten real ugly. And I would have said some very, very rude and very disheartening things to Elton Brand and maybe his mom and dad for bringing him into this world and raising him a traitor. But I used to love Elton Brand. And then he turned his back on us. I mean, he looked at me in the eyes and said, I'm coming back. I apologize for this season that was plagued by injuries, but I'm going to come back and the Clippers are going to be better like they were in 2006. And then they got Baron Davis and then Elton Brand left because he lied to us. He lied to me and he's a liar. And I still hate him to this day. When DeAndre Jordan verbally betrayed the team, all of a sudden, he became public enemy number one to me, and I somewhat forgave Elton Brand or hated him less. But DeAndre, unlike Elton Brand, is a sweetheart, a great kid, and realized the error of his ways. To err is human, to forgive divine. So, DeAndre, I forgive you, and I hope that you forgive me, sir, as well.
Well said, well said. I mean, again, this was the first time in DJ's life, too. I mean, that he's really been wined and dined and recruited like this.
Doc said in his exit interview, he's like, I hope DeAndre enjoys every moment of it, and he should get all the attention.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you can get enchanted with it all, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's also, you know, when that happens, you also have the right to look at it again and change your mind, and that's what he did. And there's nothing wrong with that as well.
I mean, Doc really speaks the truth. I mean,
well, the beauty is that Doc, you know, was a bit of a journeyman as a player and never got, you know, never won the brass ring as a player, but got real close, was a former Clipper. I mean, Doc, his son is a Clipper. His son is a bit of a journeyman. Like, he just knows the game in and out. And we were just talking off air about how he is the best coach that handles the press by far. So we have a gift, you and I, just as press, but also Clipper Nation has a gift that this guy is so vocal and so giving to the press. It's great. It's really special. But also the players love him, and he's known as the great motivator. I mean, that's what he does. And this motivation tool of getting together at DeAndre's house is just off the charts.
It was a great team-building moment. It was fantastic. And I'm not going to get into what was said, what was done, but it was absolutely wonderful. You know, coaches look for moments and team building opportunities all season. And in some ways, that actually was presented in this situation. And it was a wonderful moment. For a bunch of the guys to get into a room and talk about our team and everything else, and it was good. That's what you want.
During the off season, which never happens, they're off fishing. They're off in, like, tropical islands counting their money. Like, they're not hanging out and, like, team bonding at this point.
They're not. Well, Chris Paul got out of his banana boat, and but that's the thing, Chris. Like, one of the things this team's really lacked the last couple of years under Doc, and we'll say this, is mental toughness.
Sure.
And breaking through that wall. And I feel that this could be a giant jumping off point. Once you bring in Paul Pierce, who's seen it all, who, you know, willed the Wizards this year in the playoffs, another younger team. Now, you know, getting together and facing the issues, knowing that the goal at hand is to win a championship, I think he's going to make things a lot easier and a lot better bonding-wise for this team going forward.
You're absolutely right. And I always wondered, Jack, what Like what Paul Pierce said.
Paul Pierce, how did he join Operation DJ?
Well, I called him.
You called him?
Yeah, I mean, said, hey, let's go. You know, come share with us. And he was great. You know, Paul was terrific.
What was his bond with the guys? Again, he never played with them before.
His bond is that he's an NBA 18-year vet, and they're bonded in that way.
Did he say anything to them in particular?
Well, I'm not going to get into it, but Paul was terrific. You know, Paul always is. You know, he's always been pretty straightforward and a great team builder. And he's one of those players, and there's only probably 20 of them in the league that have that, the way of being putting everything in perspective and what we all should be doing while we're playing and what we all should be trying to do. And Paul has a way of doing that probably as well as anybody.
That kind of leadership, especially combined with Doc, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall. And his little emoji essay that he wrote was a hilarious response to people kind of making fun of old man Pierce for not understanding emojis. That was pretty great.
No, it was great. It was great on the Players Tribune. I mean, everything was covered unbelievably. I mean, J.J. Redick's interview on Grantland with Zach Lowe was
all right, so look,
phenomenal.
A couple casts ago, Jag, I asked you for Jag J. Redick's off-season free agency grade, and you, Jag J., changed it from an F- to about a solid B. So I'm asking you to put your Jag J. Redick hat on and grade the free agency, grade the summer GM doc right now, Jack J.
I'm going to go with A-.
Oh, well.
Because you know
well.
What? You know what? Chris, let's not forget. Remember last time when I gave him a B? I told you work wasn't done.
That's right.
And what happened? We got Josh Smith, re-signed Austin, got Cole Aldrich. There are two more roster spots open, and not that. That's also including Jordan Hamilton's guarantee. Is it including or not including Jordan Hamilton's non-guaranteed contract?
So Jag J's saying an A-, and Jag J's saying there's still work to be done, possibly.
Is the baby back on board?
Who knows?
You know, we'd love to see the baby. Are they going to go, you know, after a guy like Donald Sloan as a backup point guard? Doc will probably keep one of those roster spots open for training camp.
I'm glad you brought up Big Baby. Like, do you think now, I mean, he's going to have a far less pivotal role as a Clipper now that we've bolstered the bench as much as we have, but he's still going to be needed at times. Does this, you know, make him try, because he's a big energy guy, obviously, that's his thing. Does this bring even more energy when his number's called, because it's not going to be called as frequently?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, chemistry-wise, if you had to ask me, okay, we're either going to have Big Baby or Carlos Boozer, I would honestly rather have Big Baby. Now, that's coming from a team standpoint.
Right.
Because I know what Big Baby has a relationship with these guys. He's been with them for like a season and a half.
Yeah,
he has that Doc relationship. He has that Paul Pierce relationship.
Yep.
Boozer might be a better player. He might be able to contribute more. But Baby, for what this team needs, would still fit that mold.
Yeah, he's a better locker room guy. He makes more sense as a Clipper. He's got that Clipper spirit. Him and DeAndre Jordan are kind of cut from a similar call. Like, they're big, goofy, happy guys.
Yeah. But, so we'll see what happens. Doc's going on vacation soon, so most of this stuff's going to be done.
And and before I let you go, Jag, Jamal Crawford, I say he's sticking around. What do you think?
I have no clue.
No, I mean, we like Jamal. I mean, Jamal does something that only several people do, Lou Williams and a couple more guys. And so, our job is to always improve our team, but we also respect and love what Jamal has done. I mean, the rumors about that is even crazy, but it is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. And, it's going to play out.
2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I would have said he's going to be gone. He tweeted out the other day, someone asked him, you know, what are your favorite arenas to play at? he said Quicken Loans Arena, where the Cavs play, and Miami's, what is it, American Airlines Arena, because those are the two big places he's rumored to go.
Right.
So, I don't know, Chris. I mean, what is the market for Jamal? Someone will need some, you know, someone like Jamal.
What is the fan in you say? You want to keep him or dish him?
I'd like to, you know, start the season with him.
Me too.
You know why? Because Jamal, with that Tribe Called Bench, believe it or not, was a little more under control. And we didn't have to rely on him as
absolutely
much. With this bench, with Lance Stephenson probably being your first guy off the bench now, not Jamal, and, you know, Josh Smith, the pressure's not on Jamal anymore.
You're right.
So it would be interesting to see how it works. Now, could it fail miserably with all those shooters on the court? Yeah, but it could.
But I also like the fact that we keep the core guys together, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with Jamal. If something comes along that they can get, you know, another shooter or a solid backup point guard, maybe they'll do it. But who knows? But right now, this team, you know, on paper,
stacked.
I'm calling the X Factor.
We definitely stacked the deck in the offseason. And I know Doc isn't officially the GM. I guess his title is Senior Vice President of Basketball Operations. But basically, front office Doc, I think, has silenced all the doubters. When we had Wyke on the show last episode, he actually said, you know, he never hated on front office Doc, that all his moves on paper seemed like really smart moves. They just didn't all work out. And I think third time's a charm for Doc. This is his third offseason and certainly his first offseason with as few headaches as possible. His first offseason with Ballmer by his side for the entire offseason. And you add in the rebrand and you add in the new look of this bench and you add in our fixing of our three-hole, Clipper Nation, we are in good, good standings right now.
Yeah, Doc, hats off to him, because the first year and last year, it was kind of the same thing. We had a lot of dead weight on the bench.
Yeah.
Not, you know, no disrespect to the guys, but, you know,
no, when we were, on a big Turkaloo game, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah, then you're in trouble. Exactly.
And we didn't call bank. We called game.
You can call bank with turkey glue, but...
You called game with Paul Pierce. That may be one of my favorite sports quotes of all time, and I know it just happened. And I know Paul Pierce is a Clipper, so I'm just riding high on it. But when, what's his name, Broussard, asks Paul Pierce, did you call bank? And he says, I called game. I mean, that's one of the greatest Paul Pierce moments and one of the greatest sports moments. And now that guy's a Los Angeles Clipper. I mean, golly, it is hip to clip, Jack.
It's going to be a fun one. I mean, again, and I think they're going to be under the radar. They're not going to have, again, they're not going to be the sexy pick.
No, so, I mean, the beautiful thing about the Clippers is we are always under the radar because everybody was raised thinking that we're a bunch of jerks and that we're a joke.
And they still think that,
unfortunately.
Last preseason, we were the trendy pick, though. And then it was the Warriors that kind of snuck in there. So why not the Clips this year?
No, I like us. I think a lot of people, I mean, basically, if you are smart, you're putting us in the top three easily of the West. Easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
I agree.
No, why should... I personally don't, I'm not scared of OKC, but why should I be scared of OKC?
Yeah. And, you know, we'll see what happens. And it's going to be an interesting time. Why does there even have to be NFL season? Can't we just get straight into the NBA season?
I know. I know. I mean, NBA is the greatest drama. You know, this is the greatest sport.
Did you hear about, Saturday night games are going to start in January.
Well, no, it's wait, what?
Primetime ABC, January games.
Oh, that's big, Jack. That is really big.
Yeah.
That's very smart by ABC. That's the Mouse House did a good thing. Thanks. That's really smart of them to do that. Why not?
Yep.
All right, Jag. Well, that was some good Clipper talk. It's going to be a long July and August, but then, you know, September will be awesome. And then October, once we get this season on its way and its feet underneath it, we're just going to be running for the finish line. I cannot wait for October.
Yeah, And we'll do one when we see what happens with the rest of the roster. And let's you know, I'd love to try to get Lance or Austin Dawson on for an interview too for a special cast.
Is it Brendan or Brandon?
It's Brandon.
Brandon, awesome, Flossen Dawson. I would love Oprah Jag for you to go one on one with Flossen. Oh, it'll happen. It's definitely going to happen at some point. I mean, that's you know, put that one in the bank. That's definitely happening at some point. Well, Media Day will be upon us in the not-too-distant future. That's usually in August, isn't it?
No, it's usually the end of September.
Oh, Lord. Well, try to enjoy your summer, Clipper Nation. And it's been a very, very active and positive summer after a couple of days where it was really dark and bleak. But we got rid of that June gloom, and we are really rollickingly rocking in July. And let's just get through the dog days of August, and then September will kick off Media Day. So get ready for Labor Day. Put those white pants in storage and get your new Clipper gear out, because it's hip to clip, Jack. It's hip to clip.
Hit the clip. Hit the clip.
All right, sound the horn. Thanks, Doc Rivers, for swinging by.
All right, thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Jack J. Reddick. Horn it.
No, our goal was to get DJ, and we got him. You know, we got our guy.